Let me share a few scriptures before we get started with praise and worship. Let's go to, if you got your Bibles, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and 10:25, chapter 10, verse 25. I'm reading from the Passion. It says, "This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning." Isn't that powerful? Then let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And we're reading from the 17th verse. It says here, "Obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority, for they keep watch over your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. So it will benefit you when you make their work a pleasure and not a heavy burden." Think about that. Wow, isn't that heavy? You know, when you look around, yeah. I'm not moved by the numbers, believe me. But for the sake of the sheep, they should be here because of that scripture, yeah. As we see the day coming, and people need to be in the house of God. Amen. You know the story of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. Wise virgins, yeah. Five had oil, five didn't. Where do we get the oil from? Right here, in the presence of God, in the front of the gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. You get full and you get filled. Your lamp gets full, your lamp gets filled. Or when you're in the house of God. Amen? So, I'm not angry at people. It's more sad because this is a place where we need to be, especially in this day and this hour. Amen? Thank you. Now I've got, I'm going to read, because I know God's going to move tonight. I'm going to share what is the glory. Glory, the Hebrew word is kabod. It means weight. Weight. W-E-I-G-H, like weighty. You can use it in a, not in a powerful sense, but when you say weight, you could say like when the president's, if the president was to come here, and he also stand up here. He carries a certain amount of radiance, yeah, because he is the president. People go, whoa. And he's got all his bodyguards and I should say secret service. So he carries weight, yeah, because of his office. And that's the same way with God. But you think about God carries the most weight, yeah, because he is God. Amen? So it, the essence of his being, the Hebrew word weight means the essence of his being, the substance of all that God is. The glory encompasses his whole being. The glory of God is the radiation, which surrounds his person and which at some time is the perfect expression of his being. God's glory cannot be separated from his person, and likewise, his person cannot be separated from his glory. The Greek word in the New Testament for glory is doxa. And it unfolds the richness of the meaning, which is majesty, excellence, beauty, power, magnificence, might, honor, wealth, fullness, dignity, and the royalty of a person. That's the glory of God. That's what you and I, whom you and I worship, this God that is so magnificent, so powerful. Man, when we worship, and when his presence comes down, that's what is coming down upon you and I, and that's emanating forth is his glory, his presence. And guess what? Anything, say anything.
Anything
can happen in the glory. Miracles, healings, deliverance, creative miracles. The believer, hear this, the believer thrives. The believer thrives in the glory of God. The believer thrives because that's what we're made for, to stand in God's presence. Remember Adam and Eve in the beginning? Yeah, they stood in the presence of God. Jesus, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, restored us back to God so that we can come back into his presence. And not only come back into his presence, but reveal his presence, because we are the ones called to carry his presence. Of course, in the glory, sin in your life or my life will make you uncomfortable. Yeah? So if you see people, you know, kind of twitching, you know, it's okay. You know, because that's what the glory does. You know, but all they got to do, yeah, if somebody's got problems, all they got to say, God, I'm sorry. You know, repent and get back right, get right with God. That's all. You know, God isn't like judging us, you know. He's not trying to judge anybody when they're screwing up. But there's, God has his ways, you know. And of course, says, yeah, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So many people aren't coming into the glory that they should be. So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go up, and then we're going to praise and worship, and then I'll come back and finish the message. Amen. Oh, Father, we come before you. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for who you are, Father God, to us, and what you did through Christ for us. Lord, you've made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. Not only that, Lord, you've given us the revelation of your glory, of your presence. Christ in us, Lord, the hope of glory. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing in us, a confident, effectual expectation of the manifested presence of God. Lord, we thank you for your glory. Lord, we stand in awe of your glory. The very essence of your being, you have called us into your glory. That's where we thrive. That's where we are healed. That's where we are filled. That's where we are renewed. And Lord, as we begin to worship, we call upon your presence. Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself even more and more in this day and this hour. Show yourself strong on our behalf, Lord, we pray. We ask, Father God, right now, Lord, there is any sin in us, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, we come before you. We cleanse ourselves before you. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, of our sins of commission and of our sins of omission, oh Lord God, so that we can enter into your presence without fear. We can come in like children and just enjoy you and bask in your presence. We ask, oh Lord God, that the blood, the precious blood of your Son will cover us, spirit, soul, and body. That we can come in. We can come into you and taste and see that you are good. Because God, in your presence is fullness of joy. God, in your presence are pleasures forevermore. And Lord, we haven't even yet tasted all that you want to do. But Lord, You are looking for vessels, not vessels of dishonor, but vessels of honor. Vessels that can carry your presence because they paid the price. They paid the price, God. They paid the price. When no one was watching, Lord, they paid the price. We call upon you, God. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Hi, everybody. I've got here, creating an atmosphere for God's glory. You know, the last time I ministered on worship. So I'm just going to touch a few things and then I'm going to move into my message. Worship creates an atmosphere for God's glory. We witnessed that tonight. Praise and worship is the highest form of prayer. Why? Because it's selfless. It takes a humble person to worship. It takes a humble person to pray. Because why? We're depending upon Him. We're not depending upon ourselves anymore. He is our full dependence. Amen. And the scripture says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Worship gives proper respect and honor to God. Amen. I just want to share this. You know, it takes, just like when you go to the gym and work out, yeah. The first time you start, you know, you look in the mirror, you know, and then you go full on with a few weights, you know, dumbbells. You go to the squat rack, you do a few things. And then you go inside the mirror, check yourself out to see if anything happened. But guess what? Nothing happened because that was the first day. And probably the second day, the third day, and even a month, you won't see anything. Right? But as you continue, you will see results. Well, that's the same thing with praise and worship. You need to do. Yeah. You need to worship. You need to praise God, not only on Sundays or Wednesday nights or when the praise and worship team is up here. No. We need to live a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of praise. Why? Scripture says God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. We're called to bring forth His glory and His presence. How are we going to do it if we're not practicing and doing, yeah, that which we were called to do? We are called to show forth His glory. Scripture says, whole earth, yeah, shall be filled with His glory. Through whom? Amen. Through us. Amen. His remnant, His people. That which we worship will manifest. So if we worship God, He will manifest in our lives. You will see God. You will feel God in your life, in your everyday life. In the temptation, in the wilderness, Jesus, being tempted by the devil said, all this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil wanted Jesus' worship because then he could have manifest His false glory upon the earth. But Jesus said no. Amen. When you look around when you look around today, guess what? you pretty much don't see the glory of God, right? You see more manifestation of the devil than anything else. Well, guess what? You have a say in that. You have a say in that. If you are the church, if you're blood bought, if you are a believer, you have a say in that. We are not moved by what we see, but we are moved by our faith. That all God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the power of His Holy Spirit. As we declare, as we proclaim, amen? As we declare and proclaim God's word, we are His voice upon the earth. So speaking of worship, how long should we worship? Until the anointing comes. Amen? Until the anointing comes. Don't give up so fast. Wow. You know, 5 minutes. Oh, I'm tired of it. You go and you go and you practice. It's like I said, when you're working out. Yeah? When you're working out. It's going to take time, but the more you do it, you become proficient in it. In your worship toward God. Until the anointing comes, that's in Isaiah 10, 27 and 28. Is it enough? I already covered it, but I already covered this, but I'll say it again. Is it enough to only worship God on Sundays? No. Worship must be a lifestyle, just like prayer. In fact, worship, like I shared earlier, is the highest form of prayer. Amen. In Jesus' prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants what is in heaven to come down on earth. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Amen. We are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anybody got Bibles? I'm going to need some help, a little help. Somebody read John 14:26. And John 15:26. And then someone else read John 16:17-16. Okay, whoever got it, read it, please. John 14:26. Be bold, be strong. Go ahead, Cheryl. John 15:26 now. See, here Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, yeah, coming. Okay? Awesome. Anybody got John 16:7-16? James, go ahead, James. You got a deep, strong voice. Yeah. John 16:7-16. Yeah. But here's the truth. You learn that as I go away. For if I go away,
ruler of this dark world has already received his sentence. There is so much more I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. But when the truth-giving spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak on his own, but only what he hears from the Father. And he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. He will glorify me on the earth, for he will receive from me what is mine and reveal to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. That's why I say that the divine person will receive from his body and reveal it to you. He won't see me any longer.
That's good, James. Thank you, sir. Well, this, in the book of John, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit coming and taking his place, amen? So this is just little parts, portions of what the Holy Spirit will be doing. So now the Holy Spirit is with us already, right? Amen? Let me not get ahead of myself. My message tonight is, tongues, God's secret weapon for the New Testament church. In the Old Testament, the only gift they didn't have was the gift of speaking in tongues. In the Old Testament, In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon man. In the New Testament, the Spirit indwells us. Amen. In the Old Testament, the glory is in the Holy of Holies between the mercy seat. In the New Testament, the glory is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. His glory is in you. The kingdom of God is in us. Amen. I've got seven actually, but I'll try and do as much as I can before my time. Tongues is the initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's true, right? You were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The thing that will happen to you is you will start to speak in tongues. Amen? Tongues opens us to the spirit realm. First Corinthians 14:2 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. Amen. Let's go to Romans 8:26-29. Speaking in tongues is praying the perfect prayer in accordance to God's will. Amen? Is that true? Don't you like that message? Tongues are a secret weapon for the New Testament church. The reason why I felt that I'm going this way is because people get filled with the Holy Spirit and they pray in tongues when they're with the person, but they don't practice it. They don't do it, making it a lifestyle. You need to make praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, a lifestyle. Anybody got that? Honey, you can read that. You got it? Yeah, 26-29.
Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he
Okay. That's good. Thank you. So praying in tongues. Shikarabasitia Ramasia. You're praying the perfect will of God. Amen. Says it helps us in our weaknesses, yeah? For we know not how we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, not itself, but himself, he's a person in us, indwelling us. He prays, he empowers our spirit, and we begin to pray the perfect will of God. That was number one, was tongues, initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number two, he that speaks in tongues speaks not to man but to God. Okay. Number three, praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, gets us delivered and keeps us delivered from cares, weights, burdens, fears, any and everything, actually, if we would pray much in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20. But you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I put here an usurp or an attention. Very, very important that we must meditate continually on God's word, so that your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, can take the written word and turn it into the living word. Amen? Turn it into the living word, the rhema. Amen, that's what we want. And that scripture is John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. If you break it down and you read the passion, whatever you ask, yeah, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, that's a written word. You shall ask what you will. All of a sudden that word becomes rhema. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where am I? Praying in tongues washes and cleanses, empowering us to live holy lives set apart for God. That's number four. Praying in tongues washes and cleanses, empowering us to live holy lives set apart. Scripture teaches us how to live our lives for God. Scripture, when you read the Bible. But praying in tongues empowers us, empowers our spirit by the Holy Spirit to live holy lives for God. Okay, we're still talking about the Holy Spirit, right? When we read John the 14th chapter and the 15th and the 16th, this is all the workings of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? So that's number four. Now I put another quote here. If we fall down and sin, guess what? Get up, dust yourself off, repent. Tell God you're sorry, mean it, and go on. Remember, the penalty for sin has already been paid. So in God's eyes, the minute we say, God, I'm sorry, God, forgive me, in God's eyes, we have not sinned. That's in Corinthians 5:21, yeah? God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do not dwell on sin. Dwell on righteousness. Dwell on who you are in Christ. Do not focus on the sin nature, but focus on the God nature. Focus on who you are, not who you was. Amen. Remember, we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I got here 4, it must be 5. Praying in the Spirit causes us to speak mysteries, and interpreting them gives us revelation. Praying in the Spirit causes us to speak mysteries. How many of you understand my language? If I was to pray in tongues, you wouldn't understand until I start to interpret. Yeah, by the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues also gives us access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues gives us access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Revelation gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gift of the discerning of spirits. The power gifts, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Healings, gifts of healings. Gifts of utterance, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. How should I put it? I practiced that. I made it a goal in my life to pray in tongues much. When I was a young Christian, I think I prayed. I prayed like about I prayed like about 4 hours a day, easy, in tongues. Just prayed, and just trying to prove the scripture. And guess what? It is true. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you start seeing in the Spirit realm. You want to see into the Spirit realm? Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Pray much in the Holy Ghost. You want to walk in the gifts? Pray much in the Holy Ghost. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Of course, it says, as He wills, He gives us a gift. But guess what? If you come up to somebody here and God tells you to lay hands on him and he has cancer or something, then that specific gift that is needed will operate as the Spirit wills, because the Spirit knows what is needed, right? Whether it's healing, or if God tells you to pray for a person that has a need, a physical need, or a financial need, then God will, if He tells you to go pray for the person, then He'll probably give you the gift of faith where you can believe God for what the person needs, and the person, that thing will come to pass. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. Like I said here, I put here, there is a price to pay to flow and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But they are for everyone. And we are told by Paul to covet the best gifts. Amen. Paul said that. Covet him. God wants to see everybody work operating in the gifts. They're for us. They're for the church. Amen. 10 minutes, half an hour praying in the Spirit. How about every chance you got? Can you pray? You can pray quietly around people at work. You can pray when you get up. You can pray when you sleep. You will be amazed that as you pray much in the Spirit, how the realm of the Spirit will come alive to you. Your answers and solutions will come. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He is a teacher, the advocate, the paraclete, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And we activate him when we speak in tongues. I'm going to close here. Amen. Father, I'll bow your heads. Father, we come before you, Lord. We bless you, sir. We bless you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for having your way. Thank you, Lord, that this word will pierce our hearts. Father God, the importance of praying in the Spirit, praying much in the Holy Spirit. Father, we bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, Father, we say amen. Everybody say amen. Thank you.